Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Green Lantern number 51, cover date March 1967, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Gil Kane, edited by Julius Schwartz, featuring Green Lantern's evil alter ego, written by John Broom, art by Gil Kane. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go.
Fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away. And now it's so much fun. What?
Green Lantern finally gets around to investigating odd objects he has found stuck to his uniform at various times. His power ring reveals the objects originated in the 58th century. Seeking to learn the truth, Green Lantern uses his ring to travel into the future, where he is reunited with Chairman Desor and Iona Vane. His arrival is timely, since a criminal called Dr. Strange Hate is trying to overthrow the Solar Council. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Chalk on the sidewalk, writing on the wall. Everybody knows it. I love Paul. Tall Paul, tall Paul, tall Paul. He's in my all. Chalk on the sidewalk,
chalk on the sidewalk.
Dishes on a tree,
dishes on a tree.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it.
Paul loves me.
Hi.
Hi.
Where you been?
You know, downtown.
Oh, cool, 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 cool.
Where you been?
Well, I was here and home, and I went to the doctor today.
Oh, okay. Right.
Everything's working great.
Great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I complained about a stitch in my side.
And?
And I said it's probably musculature or gas. Uh-huh. But I'm a hypochondriac, so I'm sure it's kidney failure. So she said, well, we'll just order a scan, make you feel better about it.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Get a scan.
I love her.
Oh, that's great.
She's a nurse practitioner, but don't tell.
I go to an osteopath, don't I?
Well, I don't know what that means, but...
They go to school for a little bit longer. It's all about, like, interrelated medicine, like how all the systems work together. And so, yeah.
Well, you can't get an MD around here. I'm never going to an MD again for primary care.
Mm-mm.
My NP is so kind.
Is she?
And she's adorable. She looks like she's about 16.
Oh, great. Well, I had an MD that I followed around for a few practices and I wasn't happy with him. And he misdiagnosed me.
Bastard.
With, you know that pain I was having in my foot?
Uh-huh.
It was bone spur. He said it was arthritis, and I was on Motrin for far too long.
Hope and he made you think life. You were old.
Yes. Well, I mean, I did have arthritis in my foot, but I had a bone spur, too.
Well.
So some surgery fixed that, didn't it?
I should say so.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Green Lantern. Green Lantern.
Wait, I haven't finished telling about my exciting day yet.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Of course, I had a meeting this morning.
Yes.
And that was it.
Oh, okay.
And I did find some carnage in the backyard.
Oh, let's talk about the natural things, the natural elements that have been plaguing us for the last 24 hours, because I have something to share, too.
Well, I found, like, I don't know what to call it, like the wings plus a bit of backbone of a bird.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess Willoughby had a little... caught a bird?
Well, I don't know. I can't imagine how he would have caught it outside the yard and then brought it inside, so...
In his mouth.
Well, he'd have to jump the fence and all.
Sure.
he can't do that.
That's not how, well, you didn't get a hawk. It wasn't a hawk in the backyard, was it?
Like, no, that? It was a little something.
Yeah, he could do that.
I don't think so.
I think he could.
He's so portly, I don't think he could jump over the fence and carry something in his mouth.
Oh, well, can I tell what happened to me yesterday?
Please do.
So yesterday morning, I was out on the front porch weeding the flower beds and watering and fertilizing, right?
Yeah.
The roses and such. And I noticed some small yellow jackets, I guess is what they are, coming in and out of the siding in the top corner. So where the front door is in the top corner. And you can't, if you really look, you look on the crease, you can see a tiny little hole. So I stood out there and I found some flying insect killer, which is basically for killing flies, whatever. Yeah. So I tried to kill some and they were flying around, but they weren't attacking me. They were just flying around me. And I mean, like none of them landed on me and stung me, but they were really small, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
So I, in my errands yesterday, I picked up a can of like wasp and hornet killer, which can spray up to 20 feet away. So I soaked that corner and wouldn't you know, they started coming out. You know, and I didn't get stung, but because I stayed far away, but I soaked that corner. And then I was like, I think I hear a hive. Like I, from standing far away, I thought, I think. And so the good thing is this stuff kills for up to 4 weeks. I'm going to buy more of it and spray it every day up in that corner.
Yeah.
So I got out there this morning and I saw little bodies all around, right? Little bodies of hornets. But what I did was, because of where it's, you know, it's a siding, I went inside the house and got to where the equivalent of the inside would be on the other side of the wall and got a chair and put my ear up to the wall.
Yeah.
I cannot stop thinking about it. There was a big hive in there. Is a big hive in there.
Did you think there wouldn't be a hive? Did you think they were just hanging out?
I didn't know they'd make that much noise. I don't know how big the hive is. It's, and you know how I, you know how terrified I am of hornets.
Everyone is.
Okay, but you know, like I'm the guy who will pick up a snake, right?
Yes.
And walk around and be like, "Is this poisonous?"
Can't confirm.
You know, I'll kill spiders with my bare hands.
Yes.
I will. I have been known to kill mice by stomping on them with my covered feet.
Yes. You know?
So I'm not squeamish.
So you're a murderer.
Well, I will kill vermin. I was terrified. Terrified. When I woke up this morning, I was like, what if they got in the house? What if they chewed through the wall? Oh my God, you know?
Well, I told you that roofer came and said that the attic was full of bees.
Well, he said the attic, not the eaves, you know? And he's not right.
Well, he's out of business now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's so anyway,
operating fraudulently.
So I have to go buy a couple more cans of this stuff and just spray it. I'm just soak it. They have kind of, it's like a foaming kind.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just going to soak it. And hopefully over the next couple of weeks, I will eliminate these wasps, these hornets. Oh.
Well, if only the red bee would come over. He can control bees.
Oh, tell him to leave. Evict them.
He could.
I don't want no bees
around.
You know? Ugh.
Well, of course, he'd probably be mad at you now that you murdered so many.
I don't care.
Well, he's the red bee. He puts murderers in jail.
He's a comic book character. We're talking about real bees.
Agreed.
Real wasps. Hornets.
What are? Make up your mind. Are they wasps or hornets? Those are different species.
They're hornets.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wasps.
They're yellow and black.
That's fine. If they were wasps, we would have to move. Because I wouldn't live in the house with wasps.
Well,
unless it was Janet Van Dyne, the wasp.
Yeah, unless they get inside and they start coming inside, I'm going to freak out.
I had a question on the internets.
Okay.
We never talked about Fantastic Four.
We didn't?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh, shame on us.
I've forgotten if we did.
Are you sure we didn't on our sister podcast?
This is not our sister podcast.
We didn't do it on this podcast. So I was pretty sure that we talked about it in some sort of format like this where we were sitting down in front of microphones.
Maybe. Microphones. Anyway, we liked it.
It was delightful.
I liked Superman better, but...
Well, for different reasons.
Well, for one reason, crypto.
Crypto, yeah. But it was beautifully stylized.
Oh, yes. I love the mid-century styling.
Great story. Nice tension. Excellent character development.
Pedro Pascal.
All of them.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of heart. It was a great story.
Lots of Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Johnny Storm was no slouch either.
No.
Anyway, back to our story.
Yeah.
Green Lantern, number 51. Featuring Green Lantern's evil alter ego. I'm not fond of this cover.
No.
Do you know how fond I am of Gil Kane, but this is not his best work.
No.
Looked like he slapped it together at 4:55 p.m. on a Friday.
Right.
And I don't, the red background.
It's not good.
I saw an interesting article, which I skimmed through, about DC's background cover colors in the 60s.
Okay.
Apparently purple sold best.
Okay.
So I don't know what the story is with red.
I don't know either.
We may never know because I'm probably never going to be able to find that article again and read it.
So, a little backstory here.
Yes.
Or a little reminder. What is this about Hal Jordan, the Traveler?
Well, if you remember.
I don't.
I didn't think you did.
Okay.
A couple of issues ago, Carol Ferris married someone else or got engaged to someone else.
Well, I remember that.
And he was heartbroken, so he left town, went on the road, and decided that he's only going to use his ring as last resort. Otherwise, he's going to punch.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's been a while since we've read a Green Lantern comic.
It has, because it's not quite published monthly.
Okay. All right. So
at this point.
I do. Yes, I remember that. He decided he was going to use his fists and only use his ring if he had to.
Yes. And he was going to wander the country heartbroken.
Yeah. You ever wanted to wander the country heartbroken?
Not heartbroken, but sure, I've wanted to wander the country plenty of times. But if I could be more specific, I've wanted to wander the country in like 1964.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or 1953.
In some sort of idealized version. Because for me, immediately I think about all the racial riots and tensions and suppression.
Would not go well for gentlemen of our persuasion.
Exactly, exactly. But I mean, sort of like if you could have the, if you could wander around for a while and spend time in the televised sort of idealized
version. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to wander around heartbroken, but I have always been sort of enamored with the idea of a wandering sort of time in one's life. If someone could take a year off from work and just sort of walk or motorcycle or just travel around.
Well, we'd have to have the long, long trailer.
Mm.
Then we could hang out in trailer parks of the 50s, which were lovely places. Yes. According to the film, The Long, Long Trailer.
The Long,
trailer.
Long Trailer,
Marjorie Main lives next door. She'll come and fix your broken ankle.
Oh, I love Marjorie Main.
Who doesn't love Marjorie Main?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I've got some good news.
What's the good news?
Our story spans 38 centuries. And in it, our emerald-clad hero seems time and again to be on the point of succumbing to the fantastic forces of evil unleashed upon him by, hold tight, none other than his quote-unquote imaginary self in the 58th century, Paul Manning.
Oh, it's Paul. Paul, yes, of course.
Could be Paul.
Space Explorer.
Green Lantern's evil alter ego. Story by Tiger John Broom. Art by Pussycat Gil Kane. I guess they're making cat jokes here, but I'd have gone with Jumpin' John Broom and Gallopin' Gil Kane.
Yeah, sure. But those aren't really hip words. Gallopin' and Jumpin'.
I'm sure when Gil Kane worked for Marvel Comics, it was Gallopin' Gil Kane or Gallant Gil Kane or Godly Gil Kane. Something like that.
Yeah.
In a Midwestern motel, a traveler,
in quotes,
it's Hal Jordan.
Oh, wait a second.
What? The editor's note?
Oh, the editor's note. Okay, all right. I thought that was a quote, and they were missing. I thought it was an end quote, and the beginning of the quote.
No, it's an asterisk.
I see.
Hal is traveling light. He's got his lantern and a pasteboard suitcase, but he's brought two items with him. A sliver of strange metal and an odd jewel. He apparently at some point found these two objects clinging to his uniform at separate times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always felt a peculiar emotion that he can't explain. Why? What can these objects mean to him? This mystery has tantalized him long enough. He's going to use his power ring to discover the age of the objects, just as scientists often discover the age of unknown objects by determining their carbon-14 content. I'm honestly shocked that he didn't use his ring the minute he found these objects on his uniform.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
Sure.
But I've never been granted a Green Lantern ring because I'm too cowardly. You have to be born without fear to be a Green Lantern.
Well, I guess I wouldn't get one either because I'm afraid of wasps.
Well,
and hornets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you might make the grade if you're not afraid of snakes or spiders.
Or motorcycles.
Or motorcycles. I think it was actually revealed at some point that Hal Jordan was not actually born without fear, but rather the ring superimposed its own will upon him and made him ignore his fear.
Oh, that would be nice.
Which is the very definition of courage. You feel fear and do it anyway.
Wouldn't that be nice to have a special ring that suppressed all sorts of fear, like in performing? You know how, like, when you're performing and you're like, oh, is this going to work out? Is this going to work out? And you sort of approach something, a very, very difficult passage. And
uh-huh.
Wouldn't it be great if it's like, yeah, of course it's going to work out. Boom, do it. Knock it out of the park every single time.
Well, I mean, a good beta blocker will do the same thing. And you wouldn't have to fight crime. All right, he's getting fantastic results. According to the ring, these objects don't come from the past at all, but from the future, from the 58th century. What? How could he have found them clinging to his uniform when, as far as he knows, he's never even been to the 58th century?
Mm.
The plot thickens.
He has a queer look on his face, doesn't he? On that bottom panel?
Yeah, like he's about to giggle.
Yeah. So, but the X-Tex test pilot would be super tantalized if, as we're about to do, he could peer into the 58th century, where...
Fellow members of the Solar Council, we must decide now whether the emergency facing us is serious enough to summon our solar director, Green Lantern, to aid us.
Only a crisis grave enough can justify our bringing him here from the long-vanished past of our planet.
True. We have only been forced to do so 3 times before, Chairman Desor.
If you're new here, 3 times before, Hal Jordan, as Green Lantern, has been summoned to the 58th century to handle some kind of emergency because they don't have a Green Lantern on Earth in the 58th century. And to minimize confusion on Green Lantern's part, they've erased his memory and implanted a false personality, that of Paul Manning, so that he thinks he's a resident of the 58th century and also Green Lantern and also the Solar Director, whatever that means.
Conveniently for us, in their discussions, the guy with the mustache decides to sum it up for everybody who's in the room. To help us decide, I'll briefly review the situation that confronts us. A mysterious scientist who goes by the name of Dr. Strangehate has undertaken startling experiments in evolution. By his uncanny art, he has evolved creatures who strike fear into the hearts of all who have seen them. He has defied this council and set himself outside the law. Further than that, we know nothing about him, not even his true identity.
Well, you're making fun, but that was the entirety of my hour and a half meeting this morning, was someone summarizing information that everyone already knew or could have read on the PowerPoint slide that was in front of our faces.
Okay.
His identity, however, is simple enough. Dr. Strangehate was only a pseudonym. His real name is my name, Paul Manning.
Paul Manning? But that's utterly impossible.
Dr. Strangehate has just entered the room, by the way. I know what you're all thinking, that Paul Manning is merely a fictitious character invented by you to serve a purpose. I am aware that each time Green Lantern has been brought to this era, the process has resulted in complete amnesia for him.
In order to stabilize his mind, you had to give him a personal history in this time and a civilian alter ego. For that, you invented a space explorer named Paul Manning. What you didn't realize was that Green Lantern's great willpower plus his mystic ring force actually created me, without his being aware of it. I came into existence on a far-off planet. Since then, I have been amassing knowledge and power. Power enough to destroy this council if I choose.
Ugh, melting the Zerflex tabletop. No known radiation could do that.
So, they created...
So Green Lantern's ring created... an independent being.
A human being.
A clone of himself, yeah. Apparently. Which survived beyond Green Lantern's ring being present in the 58th century. Yeah. Amazing.
It is amazing that a ring could do that.
A ring could do anything with enough willpower behind it.
So he says, I choose merely to depose you. From now on, I shall make the laws and enforce them by the new energies I have discovered.
I will only use my energies to depose you and melt your tables. Well, Ilona Vane, mm-hmm. She's the gal here. Mm-hmm. She must summon Green Lantern because only he can handle this power-mad alter ego of his. Well, Dr. Strangehate is well aware of what's about to happen.
And he uses his ray gun to destroy the machine.
Blast her, destroy the machine.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that he can never be brought here again to interfere with my plans, I destroy your machine to summon him. Gasp.
Gasp.
Let this serve as a warning to all of you. The next attempt to disobey my wishes will bring instant annihilation upon you.
Oh no, without Green Lantern, they will be helpless. Meanwhile, in the far-off 20th century...
Well, so it's not really meanwhile. It's ages and ages ago. Because it's meanwhile means it's happening at the same time, which I've been chastised for using the word meanwhile in my introductions because it's actually happening at a different time.
True. 38 centuries in the past.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Hal has had the distinct impression, after using his ring on these objects, that someone's mind was trying to reach him.
There it is again. A bleep, faint but unmistakable bleep, appeal for help.
Bleep.
I've got to get to the bottom of this. It's Green Lantern. But first, an important matter to be taken care of.
Shall we?
Yes. Once again, the solemn oath is renewed as the power ring is recharged for another 24 hours.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
So it's charging it for 24 hours, but if he travels into the future, doesn't that use up the 24 hours?
I don't understand how time travel works.
I don't understand how this ring works, for being honest. All right, penetrating.
So now he gets to travel forward in time.
Yes.
And to the best of my knowledge, Green Lantern has never done this. Traveled forward in time.
On his own power, I don't know. We'd have to read every issue preceding this.
Mm.
I mean, I'm sure he could have at any time. I think it's so helpful that when you travel through time, the years are projected in fathomless space like this.
Yes, in a readable font, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, numbers are numbers. They don't change throughout history or time. We still use the Arabic numeric system, don't we?
Yes. We use Arabic numerals.
Well, there you go. They're sure to last 38 more centuries.
What about Roman numerals? They didn't last.
They didn't last. Well, they're so confusing.
Hmm.
Especially when they put it in a crossword puzzle. I don't know all the Roman numerals. I have to guess and guess.
Suddenly, out of the void, a vibrant, verdant figure emerges in the headquarters of the Solar Council.
Gasp!
Green Lantern!
I can't believe!
On your guard, Green Lantern! Paul Manning will seek to destroy you!
The mental appeal, it came from the girl. She's warning me.
Well, we have to remember Ilona's sweet on Hal Jordan.
She is.
Yeah. Who wouldn't be? All right.
I've always been sweet on Green Lantern.
I know you have. Now, Hal sees Dr. Strangehate and says there's something strange about him. He resembles me.
Hmm.
Paul Manning, of course, knows that this is his creator. Under other circumstances, we might have met in the closest friendship, but not now.
Out of the weapon in Paul Manning's hands, a titanic power flares at the Emerald Gladiator.
Now we can only battle to the death.
My ring acted automatically, shielding me from his radiation pistol, or I would have been done for. Even so, the impact is incredible.
He swiftly recovers, wields his own weapon, blasts Dr. Strangehate into the wall, but he's coming right back at him. Apparently his ring had no worse effect on him than his weapon had on me.
So it appears the two are equally matched in power.
Yes.
So they're going to revert to fisticuffs.
Well, Dr. Strangehate's going to strangle him to death.
Yeah.
With his bare hands.
But?
Well, Hal's got his fists. That's all he needs.
Mm-hmm.
He punches Dr. Strangehate. Dr. Strangehate punches the wall. Hal does a double fist upward cut and knocks him across the table, which was previously melted, and is knocked out. Unconscious. TKO.
Paul Manning is knocked out.
Ilona gives him a kiss right on the smacker.
Right, you're wonderful.
Now, Paul Manning recovers to find himself bound and helpless and is taken off to jail. Now, Hal is confused. He says, everyone seems to know me, and why does this Manning fellow hate me so much? What does it all mean?
Mm.
So, Director Desor decides that they're going to restore Hal's memories of the 58th century.
By placing a gigantic, cumbersome, massive electronic helmet-like device.
Yes.
On him. You would think in the 58th century they would have learned how to minimize size.
You'd think so, but, you know, we had that robot revolution, we had the great disaster.
Mm.
So many things have happened in the intervening centuries.
Okay.
Hal learns that thrice he was brought here from the past, thrice you saved this era from disaster, you were made Solar Director in honor of your exploits, Paul Manning is your fictitious alter ego, but somehow he came into real existence, and it is feared he still has unrevealed powers. And Hal recalls it all.
He recalls it everything. So after the Crusader has been brought fully up to date, we regret it was necessary to practice a form of deception on you in your previous visits, Green Lantern, but we had no choice.
Then you had to pretend to like me, Iona, to play a role as my romantic interest.
I forgot that you liked to do that as his voice. She goes,
that was no pretense, Green Lantern, not after I knew you.
We all hope you will exercise in full your powers as Solar Director while you are here, Green Lantern.
I understand, Gomidar. It is I who must supervise the trial of my alter ego, Paul Manning. Strange that I must sit in judgment over my other self, the product of my ring and will. Yet he is a menace, and whatever I may feel personally, the law of this era must be obeyed.
We can't go against the law, Dorothy.
Dorothy?
With.
The dog is evil and must be destroyed.
With Solar Director Green Lantern presiding as judge, the trial of the ring-created prisoner gets underway in a thronged and tense courtroom.
And Paul Manning is charged first with carrying out secret evolutionary experiments contrary to the decree of the Solar Council. Second, he is charged with high treason against the Solar Government. For this vicious public enemy, the state demands the ultimate penalty. What's the ultimate penalty? Death?
Death, I would guess so.
A harsh tongue scolding.
Strongly worded letter from Irene Vartanoff. Now, Dr. Strangehate seems strangely calm, even contemptuous of the proceedings. Either he really has a quirk in his brain, or he has some kind of trump card up his sleeve which no one suspects. I'd better keep a sharp eye out,
I'd better keep a sharp eye out.
Suddenly, a massive crash through the chambers, and in stumbles a frightful creature.
A giant
baby.
Ogre.
A giant ogre baby. Thing.
Like the Hulk.
Yes.
Now, did he mention previously his evolutionary experiments? Because
they did mention it in early on.
Okay. Because he's on trial for evolutionary experiments, but yeah. This is the first...
He creates creatures that strike fear into the heart of people.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, he has evolved a new human, a strong as Neanderthal man, but with a brain far in advance of all puny present-day brains. Behold my Neo-Man, whom I summoned here by mental commands. Do you still imagine you could put me on trial?
The law must be obeyed, Manning. If necessary, we'll have to eliminate your Neo-Man.
Be careful, he doesn't eliminate you, Green Lantern, despite your ring.
I'll have to take that risk, Manning.
Now, the willpower of this creature is so tremendous. It's like a tangible force striking and numbing Hal's own willpower and undermining his ring.
Oh my gosh, this
is... You can't hold him off.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, Hal still got his fists. He turns to his fist power.
Mm-hmm.
But with agility startling in one his size, Neo-Man seizes Green Lantern and squeezes him.
He's going to crush him. Yep.
Hal does another one of these double-fisted uppercuts, which loosens Neo-Man's grip. And if he can weaken him further, he'll undermine his willpower and be able to use his ring on Neo-Man.
Yeah. So he punches and punches and punches.
Punches just like a Sergeant Rock comic. Finally, Neo-Man is off balance. Hal launches into a bone-crunching tackle. And it's assumed that Neo-Man will be brought down. But even falling, the vicious Neo-Man manages to deliver a crushing and unexpected blow with his knee, which is the size of a tree trunk. And a moment later, lifting the dazed Crusader, his Herculean antagonist hurls him bodily through the air.
Do they not have bullets in the future?
Apparently not.
Flesh.
I don't know if somebody doesn't grab a ray gun or something.
Yeah, flesh-piercing bullets or magnetic nets or, I don't know, swords.
In the hushed and horrified courtroom, with the champion of justice motionless and still, Dr. Strangehate releases himself from the encircling manacles, then announces that Neo-Man has won the trial of strength with Green Lantern. Come, let's go.
Desperate guards seek to bring their weapons to bear on the escaping prisoner and his giant henchman.
But Neo-Man has power, brain power, to freeze them in their tracks.
And Paul Manning grabs Iona Vane.
Iona.
And they ferret off with her.
Oh, it was Ilona on the previous page.
Iona Vane. Oh, are you sure?
Yes.
Huh.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe I just mispronounced it. I do that once in a while. So Neo-Man is making off with Iona. Green Lantern is revived, but too late. Amazingly, he has no bones broken because he's in amazing physical condition. Now, his ring is supposed to protect him from mortal danger.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently his life was not actually in mortal danger. And Manning would be aware of that as his alter ego.
Mm-hmm.
Aware that his ring would shield him from any attempt to destroy him. And that might explain why he and Neo-Man left without trying it. But they did get away with Iona. Now, the doctor says Green Lantern must rest.
Doctor says.
But there's no rest for Hal Jordan until Paul Manning and his evolutionary freaks are safely in the hands of justice and Iona Vane safely here with all of you. I'm heading for Manning's laboratory headquarters.
Does he know where it is?
Yes, his mental briefing included a description of Manning's hideout and its location outside the city.
I see. Okay.
Unless he's moved very fast, he and his Neo-Man ought to be there still with Iona. That's great guardians, he finds it.
Mm-hmm.
But the spectacle below is incredible.
His Neo-Man, there are more of them.
A small army.
Yeah, guarding and approaches as he approaches the fortress. They haven't spied him yet, so he has the advantage of surprise. So what does he do? He blasts behind him to create a rocket effect. Green Lantern zooms down on his formidable adversaries in a screaming power dive and bowls them over like bowling pins.
Yes, he blasts a beam out of his ring, which is like a force beam of some kind, knocks them over. Two more of the Neo-Men pop out of the headquarters and blast him with brain blasts.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a titanic duel of wills. Their force is numbing his willpower. His ring has dwindled to a mere trickle, but he can't let them defeat him, not with Iona inside at the mercy of his evil alter ego. So he's going to trick them.
Yeah.
He's going to make them think they're overcoming him, which makes them overconfident even for just a moment. He pretends to be paralyzed. They relax their concentration, and it works. He catches them with their mental guard down.
Then he bursts into Manning's stronghold and finds poor Iona strapped down to a table with a laser thing pointed at her.
Yes, she's strapped to the table. So who knows what weird experiment he's going to do?
Yeah.
Well, he's about to tell us. Well, she is, actually.
Yeah, he needs her feminine element. But in taking that from her, he will at the same time take her life.
Oh, gee. No hope for her.
Hmm.
So either way, she dies, eh? In that case, I'm sure she'd rather have the slimmest chance of life than no chance at all.
So Green Lantern beams at the device and melts it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Enraged, Paul Manning hurls himself at Hal,
mm-hmm.
vowing to destroy both of them before I'll let you defeat me. He can walk right through the power beam because he's a clone of Hal. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works. So the ring has little or no effect on Paul Manning. He's tearing at Hal like a wild animal with insane superhuman strength. Dazed by the intensity of the attack, Green Lantern fails to prevent a quick move by his foe, stealing the ring right off Hal's finger.
Mm.
Now your ring won't protect you. You could be destroyed. He twists Hal's arm behind his back,
mm-hmm.
thinking that the pain will make Green Lantern give up. But he doesn't know our boy Hal.
No.
He lunges back, plunges both of them off balance, plunges Paul into the wall, gets a grip around Paul's neck, and flips him over onto the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, onto the other wall, actually. It's called wall-to-wall combat. Then he knocks him against a third wall, and he's unconscious. Iona's free, celebrating Hal's triumph. And later, I wish I knew what this meant, with the Neo-Men dealt with according to the laws of the 58th century.
I don't know. What do you suppose they did with them?
I don't know.
Ground them up?
But now, Hal is asking the members of the Solar Council for permission to try and rehabilitate Paul to turn him into a useful citizen. They can't refuse his request since he saved Iona and the rest of them. And he aims the power ring at him.
He's going to do brain surgery on him.
Yes, he can't affect Manning physically, but mentally is another matter. I've got to use all my willpower to penetrate his mind, erase the evil there, and wipe it clean. I don't know what these laws of the 58th century are.
They sound brutal.
Well, yeah, and I don't know that this is necessarily a good way to go about things, erasing someone's memories and whatnot.
Mm-mm.
It's like
a violation.
It's a violation. Mm-hmm. It's against his will. It's like electroshock therapy.
Yeah,
lobotomies they used to do in the 60s.
Just throw him into a volcano. Let him die instantly.
Surely they don't still have volcanoes in the 58th century.
Of course they do.
No, they control the weather and everything.
Oh, okay.
Things of that nature. All right, the operation's complete. Paul Manning is weak and must rest.
Then they put the giant helmet on Paul Manning.
Yes. To show that the operation was a success, Paul Manning is really a new man, capable now of filling a new role in society, perhaps as a real space explorer, doing good instead of evil.
Mm. I love it when people use their power for good instead of evil.
Sure. Now, Hal has figured out that Manning was evil because he was created as part of a fraud on his previous visits here. He was made to believe that Hal was made to believe he had an alter ego, but that was a cover-up to conceal the truth. But it's all cleared up now, right? Iona says. Right? Right? Except for one little matter. When the memory of my past visits was restored to me, I was able to identify these two objects, a metal chip from my statue here in the solar hall, which I will replace. But this jewel, Iona, belongs to you.
Please keep it, Green Lantern, to remember me by.
Shortly after a final round of goodbyes, Hal announces that his ring will take him back to his own era.
38 centuries in the past.
Yes.
Even if he forgets me, I'll never forget him.
Farewell. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And even Paul Manning, the first synthetic human to be accepted in society, comes a warm wave and smile.
Goodbye, Green Lantern, my friend.
Goodbye, Paul. Good luck in your new life.
What would we have done without the 21st century, Green Lantern?
Says Iona.
Now we have an exciting epilogue.
Epilogue to us from the Guardians.
Yes. Iona's last thought, as the Emerald Gladiator disappears above, brings up a curious point. Why does the 58th century not have its own Green Lantern to call upon? And what about Green Lantern's masters, the Guardians of the Universe? Where are they at this time? For the answers, let us turn to the present-day world of Oa,
home of the Guardians. They're speaking to each other. Green Lantern of Earth has just returned safely to his own era after dealing with an emergency on his planet 38 centuries into the future.
This proves our vision of the future is an accurate one.
We Guardians, reader, this is to us.
Yes.
Are immortal, as you may know, and we have almost limitless powers, but one thing we cannot do is travel in time, under penalty of losing our immortality. However, despite that handicap, although we cannot travel into the future, our powers enable us to have glimpses of it. And not long after we perceived that, after Hal Jordan, Earth would not need another Green Lantern for thousands of years.
We foresaw that certain emergencies would arise in the 58th century, but we also foresaw that the people on Earth in that era would be clever enough and sufficiently advanced scientifically to bring Hal Jordan from the past to aid them, which they did time and again. Thus, in all that future era, there will exist no Green Lantern on Earth, but only one in the space sector that includes the planet.
Boy, what these Guardians don't know with their future vision.
Oh, I know, right? Meanwhile.
Well, wait a minute.
What?
First of all.
Okay, here we go.
In just a few years of comic time, there will be, in fact, 7 Green Lanterns operating on Earth. One of whom, Salak, will be brought to the 58th century and given the fake identity of Paul Manning. So I guess this clone Paul Manning, I don't know what happens to him, because they bring this other Green Lantern to the future and give him the Paul Manning identity.
Well, I guess they didn't work this out on the Dream Vision Board at DC headquarters in the
Green Lantern. No, they certainly did not.
Wall. No.
Also, not too far after that, the Guardians will, well, I'm not up on my Green Lantern modern day knowledge, but there's girl Guardians at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to even talk about it. I don't know what happened. Someone's going to write in and tell me.
Okay.
Suffice it to say, their vision of the future is not accurate. In fact, there was a Green Lantern on Earth in the 30th century, and then after that, all Green Lanterns were banned from Earth because that Green Lantern turned evil. Also, there's currently like 4 Green Lanterns on Earth. So they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, I guess Earth is a pretty significant place to have 4 Green Lanterns.
It is significant, actually, because that's the nexus of the next evolution of life. Yeah. Yeah, Rob. Wow. Needs a lot of protection.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back on Earth, a scarcely noticed figure steps into the street.
People here would find it hard to believe that I've just returned from the far future. But then just looking at me, they'd hardly suspect that I'm Green Lantern. I've got to move on to a new city, find a new job.
Which city? What kind of job? I don't know. All I do know is I'm hunting for something. Maybe I'll know when I've found it. After all, my masters, the Guardians, may be able to see into the future, but I can't.
Well, as they just told us, they can't see into the future, but, you know.
If you could see into the future, Hal, you'd know that you're headed for an exciting career in insurance adjustment. That's serious. That's true.
That's true.
Spoiler alert. Well, that's the end.
Well, I always love an issue of Green Lantern.
I know you do. I've got some more exciting news.
What?
Next episode is our 300th episode.
How is that possible?
Well, time just keeps going by. We just keep recording, and that's have such how a rich life. I should say so.
Mm.
It's a 80-page giant.
Oh, God almighty. Okay, go ahead.
Starring Supergirl.
Oh, okay, now things are looking up.
With one of my very favorite stories that I've read a billion times.
Which one?
The story of the Bizarro Supergirl and the first baby born on Bizarro World.
Oh, reader, listener, you can't tell that I'm smiling.
Also, the secret of Comet, the Super Horse's secret identity.
Comet the Super Horse will be in it too?
Yes, of course. And who knows, there's a couple of other stories we have the option of reading.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
We'll have a guest star on the program.
We will?
Yes. Chuck.
Oh, coming. Great.
The host of our sister podcast, Nerd okay. Orchestra, where you can find us every month. It's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into movie soundtracks and nerd movies, it's right up your alley.
Great.
You can also find us on social media at GoGoChuckPod. You can rate and review us on all your favorite podcast platforms. And you can find us right back here every week, including next week, with our 300th episode. Crap, I got to find a new theme song.
Oh, is that what you do every 100 episodes?
Every 50.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, looks like I'll be busy tomorrow.
I bet.
Around my busy meeting schedule.
Yes.
Anything to add?
No, it's just good to be here with you.
Good luck with the Hornets.
Thanks.
Everybody. Bye.
Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
We'll keep us sailing along.
High in the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone, come on.
Guide us.
When you're beside me, we can.